Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast of Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. This episode features an excerpt of a recent presentation by Biologic Institute Director, biologist Dr. Douglas Axe. In his lecture, Axe discussed research on the molecule lignin, which provides a paradoxical case for the Darwinian method of evolution, but fits perfectly into the intelligent design paradigm. 30% of non-fossil organic carbon on the planet is lignin. So in a Darwinian world, something should have developed the ability to consume lignin, but it hasn't. Lignin binds together and protects plant cellulose, which is vital to all types of large plant life. The peculiar properties of lignin, therefore, make perfect sense when seen as a part of a coherent design for the entire ecosystem of our planet. Here's Dr. Axe.
So the last piece of this has been completed only relatively recently with a paper that I co-authored with Matti Laisala, who's the editor-in-chief of Biocomplexity. I've never met the man, but we've had a number of telephone conversations. He's in Finland, a very senior scientist in Finland, was with the Helsinki Institute of Technology, and now he's with the massive Aalto University in Finland, which is the largest university in Finland. And we were talking about inspiring the editors of Biocomplexity to do work that could get published that was making design arguments. And I had a conversation with him on the phone where he said, I have this thing that's been bugging me for 30 years, and I wonder if you could help me frame it into an argument. And it had to do with a compound that I confess I had not heard of until this conversation. It's called lignin. And plant biologists have all heard of lignin, but I, for some reason, had not heard of lignin. It turns out that all of the things that we think of as plants, not lichen, not mold, not moss, anything with a stem and leaves, so anything with an extended structure that has to hold itself up, has lignin in it. And lignin is a curious compound. It's one of many biopolymers. So polymers are anything that have a long chain molecule where you have these little blocks that get connect together to make very large compounds. Lignin is one of them. And lignin turns out to be the second most abundant biopolymer on planet Earth behind only cellulose, okay? And probably everyone's heard of cellulose. Lignin is even more energy rich than cellulose. And it's estimated that 30% of the Earth's non-fossil organic carbon is tied up in lignin. Okay, so what lignin does is it is the glue. It's basically this glue that holds together the other polymers like cellulose and hemicellulose to form the rigid cell walls that make trees and bushes and stems and twigs and leaves possible. And so it has that role of a structural adhesive that makes plants possible. But it turns out to be even more profound than that, because it turns out that plants could not grow at all if there were not a layer of soil, topsoil, that had particular properties. And lignin turns out to be a key factor in giving the top part of the soil where the roots need to have air and water in the right combination. And humus is the technical term for that top organic layer to soil. And as you go deeper in soil, you get less and less organic material, and it becomes more and more mineral down to bedrock, where it's almost entirely mineral and no organic material. But it turns out if this top layer did not have the properties that it does have, that no large plant life could exist. And if you look at the interdependencies of life forms, so now we're here at that biosphere design level, think about all the things that depend on plant life, large plant life. It's basically everything. All the large organisms on the planet, including us, depend on the photosynthesis organisms that make use of this humus layer in the top of the soil. All the grazing animals for their grazing, and we eat the grazing animals, most of us. So everything is dependent on humus. And lignin turns out to be the key molecule for giving humus that stable property. And this is why. There are a lot of organisms that devour carbohydrates. including us, but a lot of organisms that devour even cellulose. We cannot consume cellulose, but microbes can consume cellulose, break it down into sugars, and they love to eat sugars. They cannot consume lignin, this glue that binds together the cellulose in trees and stems and plants. And this turns out to be a very curious thing. And the question that we posed, the question that Maddie posed to me is, I don't understand how it could be that in a world where evolution is supposed to solve all kinds of problems, engineering problems, for selfish reasons, in other words, the organism does not care at all about the biosphere in a Darwinian world. Each species cares only about the survival of itself, survival of that species. In a Darwinian world, surely something should have figured out how to eat lignin for lunch, right? Because I just said 30% of the non-fossil organic carbon on the planet is lignin. If anything out there could evolve the ability to consume lignin for energy, that should have happened a long time ago. If it did, then the leaves and twigs and stuff that fall into the soil would be so rapidly consumed by the microbes that could do this trick of consuming lignin, they would quickly get through the lignin and then have lunch on the cellulose. You would have a very compact mineral soil without this humus layer, which means you would not have any plants like this, which means all the things that depend on those plants would be gone. So it would be a disaster for the biosphere if anything could consume lignin for energy. And by that, I mean devour it and make its living consuming lignin for energy. It turns out there is a class of fungi that break down lignin, but they do it very slowly. And the reason they do it slowly is they're not actually deriving their energy from lignin. They actually are consuming energy to munch through the lignin very slowly to get to the cellulose, which they actually lunch on. So they want to eat the cellulose, and they slowly break down the lignin to get to the cellulose. So there's this curious property that the whole biosphere seems to be very dependent on nothing lunching on lignin. And as a Darwinist, we started to think about this. That does not seem to be the hardest problem from an engineering point of view. Granted, I can't design the enzymes that would consume lignin, but it doesn't seem to be as hard a problem as all the millions of other problems that have been solved. And lignin has been around for 500 million years, ever since these complex plants came to be. So you seem to have a situation here where what does not exist is beautifully fit for the biosphere. What does not exist is anything that consumes lignin for energy. You have these things that very slowly break it down so that lignified tissues, when you compost material, all these twigs and stuff that stay in that top soil layer for decades, is necessary in order for plants to grow in that top soil layer, because they're what keeps the composition of the topsoil so that it retains moisture, allows air to get in there. You get a nice microbial layer where the microbes are at work in that top, say, foot of soil, and that's absolutely necessary for complex life as we know it. So after this conversation, he pulled me into the project. I helped to frame this as a design argument. This has been published now just recently in Biocomplexity, and we say basically that what is a paradox for Darwinism makes perfect sense from a design point of view, because the biosphere would have to be this way. You would have to have some things like this that could be done that aren't done in order for the biosphere to work. Last sentence of the abstract, the peculiar properties of lignin therefore make perfect sense when seen as part of a coherent design for the entire ecosystem of our planet.
You've been listening to ID the Future, a podcast of Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. If you enjoyed this podcast, you can listen to others online at idthefuture.com. And please consider helping support the work of the scientists and scholars at the center. You can donate online at idthefuture.com. Just click on the donate button. Thanks for listening. This podcast is copyright Discovery Institute